I knew that I wanted to bring all of these progressive concepts to this model, but I also didn't want to, I was, you know, it's okay to use my own kids as a petri dish, but I didn't want to use Boundless as a petri dish, you know, like I wanted Boundless to really be credible and based on data that shows the positive results that, you know, a model has.
Welcome to season 4 of Go Out and Talk to Strangers. This is Adi. I'm a nomadic architect and the founder of The New Movement, an architectural design studio that designs one-of-a-kind, innovative, and creative projects worldwide, using the built environment as a tool to help people thrive. During my travels, I'm constantly meeting incredible people. People who are reshaping the way we live, work, and connect. The reason I started this show is because I want to highlight the ones who are leading the way. This is the place where I host thought leaders, entrepreneurs, and founders of unique projects to share their stories and insights. I want to invite you to be part of the change. If you're looking for something bigger than yourself, if you also feel that we can do better, and standard is simply not good enough, you're in the right place. I hope you'll enjoy today's episode. In today's episode, I had the pleasure to have a conversation with Rekha Magon, one of the most fascinating women I ever met, and the person who created my dream future life, believe it or not. Rekha is the co-founder and head of education of Boundless Life, a turnkey solution for families to live, work, and learn while experiencing the world. As an avid world traveler, edtech entrepreneur, and homeschool mama, Rekha is passionate about creating meaningful learning experiences that inspire children to question, create, and innovate according to their own personal interests. Boundless Life aligns deeply with her own personal and professional values, and she's now leading the charge of Boundless Education. This episode is extremely inspiring for me and for anyone who wants to open their mind about how education might look like if only we allow our children to be curious and have more freedom, and all that while traveling the world. So let's begin. Hello, Rekha. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. Nice to be here.
It's so wonderful to have you. Rekha and I met in Sintra a few weeks ago, and it was so clear that she has to be a guest in this season. So thank you again for making the time.
Thank you for having me.
How are you today?
I'm good. I just came back from a morning walk and ready to tackle the day.
Sounds good. So today we're going to talk about a project that is very close to my heart, but also your heart, called Boundless Life.
Yes. Yes.
Wow, where should we start? It's so interesting. How about we talk a little bit about you and how it all started?
Sure. So, I mean, growing up, I was brought up in a community that really valued community service, mindfulness, and travel. So since I was very young, I used to travel a lot for meditation retreats in different parts of the world. And growing up, it felt like I always had this kind of advantage, you know, compared to everybody else. Like there was just this really beautiful flow in life always. And, you know, I knew I couldn't credit it to my intellect or anything else. And the only thing I could really think of is, hey, it's just this upbringing that I had. So when we got pregnant with our own first child, you know, as a first time mom, you start thinking, okay, what type of lifestyle do you want for your own children? And it became kind of very clear to me that I wanted to bring that same lifestyle to my own children. And that's when I was like, well, that's not fair, right? If I know how beneficial and advantageous this kind of lifestyle is for my children, why shouldn't more children in the world get this opportunity? So I actually, my first company was called The Mindful Scholar. So I was very passionate about bringing mindfulness into the traditional school system. And I was, you know, doing really well. I won like innovation awards. I won Canada's ninth EdTech Innovation Award, and was kind of ready to really take that company to the next level when my own son entered traditional school. And it became very clear to me very fast that even in kindergarten, you know, things were so outdated when it came to education. So I ended up pulling him out of school and started homeschooling him. And it was interesting. He kind of became my like petri dish. Like I ended up, when I do something, I go like deep down, you know? So I started testing all these different homeschool curriculums from the Finnish system to Waldorf to Montessori. And, you know, then I actually started developing my own homeschool curriculum based on what I thought was actually working and what was getting him engaged and kept that love for learning. Then I helped launch a learning center here in Montreal. And that's when my current partner, business partner, Mauro, he knew me from my first company because he was part of the same accelerator group that I was in. He was a mentor there. And he came up to me with this idea. He's like, hey, you know, I think he just sold his company. And he was like, you know, I want to create something different for my children, have a different lifestyle. And I was like, well, I'm already living this lifestyle. We were already traveling with our kids. We were out of the traditional school system. And, you know, the concept of boundless life just aligned so much with my own personal and professional views that I almost knew I had no choice. Like I had to start this company with him. And that was about 2 years ago, I'd say, you know, to now. And here we are.
I love that. I feel like we went very far, very fast. So let's rewind a little bit.
Sure.
Where are the places that you grew up in? And if you can share a few memorable experiences that you think shaped this very unique perspective that you have.
Sure. I mean, I was born and raised in Montreal, Canada, but I'd say by the time I was, I don't know, two maybe, my parents were already taking me to these meditation retreats. So we would go to India for three times, almost two or three times a year for these, you know, like 10-day meditation retreats. We would travel around North America on, you know, different weekends to attend. And, you know, I think from a young age, even though it wasn't always very comfortable, to be honest, you know, when you're born and brought up in North America and you have all these luxuries and then you go to a third world country, and, you know, we were living like the locals in this country, you know, in a small, tiny village is where they did these meditation retreats with, you know, very little kind of luxuries, you know, like we all slept on the floor and we had the communal bathrooms and everyone, you know, had communal food together. And it was very simple living and very different than what I was used to back in Canada. But every time I would go there as a young kid, at first it was like a being outside your comfort zone, you know? So you kind of fight it and you're like, oh, I want to go back home, or I want my TV, or, you know, like I want to have my Lay's chips or whatever it is that you're used to in North America. But very soon, you know, after a few trips, it became very like grounding for me, you know, like every time I would go, I probably started really loving it when I became a young teenager, you know, and this was kind of part of my routine. And, you know, you're trying to discover yourself and figure out who you are. And what I realized is every time we went there and was really pulled out of our comfort zone from here is when I felt the most grounded and kind of gave me this reset to, you know, reestablish who I am and what do I stand for. And it pulled me away from, you know, the cliques and the groups in school, and this is cool and I need that thing and I need this. It really just kind of sucked me out of this, I don't know, consumer materialism world. Yeah. And it just made me, you know, look at things so differently. And it was such a blessing, honestly, growing up. And even now, like, you know, I still go back when we can, and it's a major reset for me.
It is, right? To be able to tap into different cultures and perspectives really allows us to, yeah, to reevaluate what we have and how we live.
Absolutely.
And from that time, so you mentioned you started homeschooling your son.
Correct. Yes.
How long it took before you started celebrating that freedom in travel?
So, I mean, for us, we were already traveling a decent amount before my son started school, right? So, I remember actually that first year when he started kindergarten, we had planned. I had done like a student exchange program when I was at McGill, so I'd studied at NUS in Singapore for 6 months, and that's when I was young. I traveled all over Southeast Asia and had fallen in love with that region, and I particularly back then loved Chiang Mai, part of northern Thailand. So after I got married, I went back with my husband, and then I knew that when I had kids, I wanted to bring my kids and stay there for, even if it was just for a few weeks. So I remember I had pulled my son out of school, my daughter out of daycare, and we'd gone to live in Chiang Mai for like a month and a half. And I'll never forget, like, his kindergarten teacher was like shocked, like, what do you mean he's gonna miss a month of school? Like, he can't miss a month of school, like, he's gonna fall so behind, and no, this is not how it works, like, you can't do this. And I remember just looking at her like shocked, like, he's 5, he knows his ABCs, he knows his 1, 2, 3s. Like, what, like, how can this system be so against a child traveling the world and experiencing a new culture? And like, this is an experience that would literally, completely transform him and everything that he knows. And I just could not wrap my head around the fact that they didn't understand that, and that kind of doing something that we wanted to do as a family was getting so much resistance, at such a young age as well. So for me, I think that was the first major red alarm where I was like, okay, this is just not gonna work, right? Like, I can't have the school system dictate what our lifestyle and schedule is gonna be for the next 18 years, So, I mean, we went to Thailand anyways. We lived, ended up getting an apartment and living there like a local for almost a month and a half. And I'll never, again, and my son was 4, my daughter was 2. And this, I think that was the first time where we really did this, like, slow travel where we went to a country that, they'd never been to, knew nothing about, and stayed and lived like a local. Like, we bought milk from the local grocery store. We cooked almost every second day in this tiny, little apartment. We went to the local park. They played with the local Thai kids. And I just know that when we came back from that trip and we came back to our home and back to our family and our community here, like, not only did I notice, but everyone around us noticed how much the kids had changed. Like, they had evolved and grown so much in this short period of time, just as little human beings. And I knew that there was no way, had they stayed home and had just, gone to school for that month, there's no way they would be the kids that they were at that moment, right? There's no way that just staying in their comfort zone in their local environment would have resulted in the amount of growth that we saw from that first travel. So to me, it became very evident that I needed to kind of give my family this life of freedom, where we got to decide, how we were going to learn, where we were going to live, what we were going to do. And I guess basically from there, it was no turning back. Like, I just knew that we had to find a different route for our family, and it just felt right.
This is incredible. Like, I see people seeking, I see them around me seeking for different lifestyles and different structures of businesses and families and partnerships and all that. And still, there is something very radical when it comes to children. And it feels like we all know that the systems and paradigms we grew up in are outdated and that we have to shift them and help them progress with what the world is asking for right now. What are the kind of skill sets and experiences that we should create for ourselves and for our loved ones? And still, when it comes to, taking a kid out of the schooling system, that's scary. There's a lot of fear around that. So, first of all, I want to congratulate you for the courage to do that.
Thank you.
And for creating my dream life. Well, I already thanked you in person, but this is really amazing, because the other thing that I keep hearing from people this resistant is, but you know, kids, they need that. They need stability and they need structure, and they need to be around other children for long periods of time so they can form deeper connections and relationships. And in a way, Boundless Life is doing exactly this. So, okay, we're talking about it like everyone here knows exactly what it is. So why don't you tell us, so the moment you understood that this is something that you want to create for others, what was the first thing that you did? And what was the vision back then?
So like I mentioned, my business partner I started working on homeschool curriculums and kind of went down that route. I helped start a learning center in Montreal. And that's when Mauro, one of my business partners, had contacted me and said he had this idea, right? And Boundless Life, basically the concept, to give all your listeners an idea of what Boundless Life is, which is our company, it's basically allows families to slow travel the world, gives them a complete living abroad experience that has education and community at the core. So it's basically a turnkey solution. So we offer all of our families fully furnished apartments that are kid friendly. We offer a co-working space where parents can come and work from at any point throughout the day. And then our biggest value proposition is education. So in each location that we've launched, we also offer basically a fully functional school for children who want to slow travel the world. So it's really this turnkey solution. All of our families join us at the same time. So you can book a 3-month cohort with us during the academic year, or you could book a summer program with us in the summer. But you know, the requirement is that everyone is starting at the same time and ending that cohort at the same time, so that, you know, there's so many instantaneous relationships and quick bonds that occur when, you know, everyone's starting off in this new country at the same time, at the same place, right? It's actually really beautiful, because what I've noticed with human behavior in the last, you know, year and a half since we've launched, is that when you're living at home, and you know this yourself based on the way you live your life, but when you're living at home, you get very accustomed to your routine, right? So you have your set friends, you know, let's say your 4 or 5 friends that you'll schedule to see, I don't know, once every week or every 2 weeks on the weekend, very kind of pre-planned when you're going to spend time with this person. You go to work, you come back, you know, your kids have your activities, and that's it. You're kind of like stuck in this bubble that you've created of your existing community. And you don't really go seek out, you know, new people from different areas. Whereas when you're now living in a new country, and, you know, let's say we're a group of between 20 and 30 families in each location starting at the same time, all of these families have left their comfort zone and have come to a Boundless location at the same time. You know, everyone's starting at the same time. No one knows anybody else. No one has, you know, family down the street or their favorite restaurant or their favorite place that they kind of automatically defer to, but they're all starting this experience at the exact same time at the exact same place. And it's incredible, because there are so many instantaneous relationships that literally just develop on that first day, whether it's kids finding new friends and planning, you know, sleepovers or after school play dates, or, you know, weekend trips to the beach, or parents starting, I don't know, a paddle competition, or doing CrossFit together, or yoga together, or hikes together. Because you don't know anyone else, you automatically create these relationships with different people from around the world right away. And I think that community aspect is so powerful, because otherwise it's almost impossible to, you know, have such close bonds with different people from all around the world so quickly. So community is definitely something that emerged. I don't think we realized, just the founders, how powerful the community aspect would be. And this was kind of a something that emerged, you know, so naturally and so quickly. And then the other component that's really powerful is the education, right? Like, the reason parents or families can't live this type of lifestyle is because our traditional lifestyle is centered around this rigid school calendar that kind of locks everybody into one location for 10 months of the year. So with Boundless, our education system is flexible, so people can come in and out of any of our education centers every 3 months. So that allows for this fluidity and this forced flexibility when it comes to children's education.
That's amazing. And I want to go deeper on that. But before we move there, I just want to say that I think part of the magic is the fact that people are surrounded with other families in the community that are sharing the same values. It's not only that they live in the same area by chance or, you know, that set of reasons that bring people to a certain location. All those families, they chose intentionally to go on this adventure, to go into the unknown, to do something different, and to be surrounded by others who see the world the same as you are. That's pure gold. That's priceless. And that's also, I think, one of the benefits of this wonderful thing you created.
Yeah, you nailed it. Absolutely. You know, like that, it's this group of like-minded individuals that have been kind of curated to come together. And when you're in a group of, you know, yeah, like-minded individuals who have shared the same values, it's so powerful because you're now, not only are you guys similar, but you're also, there's so much to learn from one another, you know? And it's really a beautiful, beautiful thing.
It is. Okay, so let's dive in to the education system, because you said you researched some different methods like Montessori and Waldorf, you said?
Yes.
Yeah. And how is it structured nowadays? How is it different from, let's say, a standard schooling system back in Canada or in Israel or anywhere else?
Sure. So, I mean, when I started researching, you know, all the different education models out there, I mean, I was already, you know, an ed tech entrepreneur, I was building mindfulness curriculum, so I'd already seen a lot already. But what I realized is that a lot of the progressive education systems that are now emerging, you know, in different parts of the world, which involve project-based learning, personalized learning, allowing children to work on projects that are more purposeful and relevant, giving time, you know, for kids to be outdoors and immersed in nature, evolving them in the local culture, having them give back, all these kind of progressive education models that we're now seeing emerge these days had already been implemented in Finland, right? So Finland has always had a very progressive education model. They have the data to back up that how successful these kind of concepts have been when it comes to kids. So when it came to Boundless Education, and I'm the co-founder on Boundless Education, I knew that I wanted to bring all of these progressive concepts to this model, but I also didn't want to, it's okay to use my own kids as a petri dish, but I didn't want to use Boundless as a petri dish, you know, like I wanted Boundless to really be credible and based on data that shows the positive results that, you know, a model has. So what I ended up deciding to do was partnered with a Finnish school development company. So this was a company that was kind of exporting the Finnish education model. So we used that as the initial base that we built Boundless Education upon. So our model is built on what's called the Nordic Baccalaureate. So that's the Finnish education model. It also incorporates a lot of the IB philosophies. So it's this mesh of Finnish education, IB, and Montessori, and it's called the Nordic Baccalaureate. So we use that as a base, and then upon that, we created it, you know, added our own secret sauce to really make it Boundless Education. So the premise lies on mastery and really giving children more individualized and personalized learning. All of our classes are multi-age. So it's an in-house education center with teachers, some local, some from around the world. The younger ages, so ages 1 to 6, a lot of their curriculum is based and inspired by Montessori. And then the older children, ages 7 to 12, their curriculum is really more inspired based on the Finnish education system. So more project-based learning, using online tools for mastery that meet each child where they're at. We do a lot of culture immersion, so really taking a deep dive into the local culture of whatever country we're in. We also do something called Endeavor Time. And Endeavor Time is really interesting. So it's leveraging, you know, the community of like-minded parents that Boundless seems to attract and bringing them into the classroom. So one thing that's always, you know, I've always questioned is, why do we restrict education only to teachers, right? So teachers are amazing. I have utmost respect for teachers, and I think, you know, they should be paid way more than the current society pays them. But why do we only restrict education or teaching to teachers, right? When I believe that when anybody, you know, whether it's a parent or somebody who's passionate about marketing or blockchain or AI or, you know, entrepreneurship, when you're passionate about something and you share that passion and your zone of genius with children, to me, that passion is infectious. So what we do is every week we have time carved out where we ask parents in the Boundless community to come share whatever it is that they're passionate about or whatever they think their zone of genius is with our kids at the education center. And it's amazing to see, you know, these parents who have so much to offer, how they can ignite that spark of curiosity into children.
Can you share an example?
Sure. Yeah, sure. So, you know, we had like an investment banker who came in and taught about the stock market and what it means to invest in, you know, startups or different companies and how you can make, you know, a return on your money. We've had families come in and teach, you know, someone who's really passionate about sushi and gave like a hands-on workshop on how to make sushi properly from scratch. We've had, you know, parents in our community who are entrepreneurs and have come in and encouraged the kids to start their own business. We've had parents come in and give workshops on real estate, you know, and how to look at, you know, properties that might look not great on the outside and how you can revamp those and really restructure them to make them worthwhile. So many people, you know, in our community have so much to offer, and having them come into the classroom, to me, exposes kids to so much more than just, you know, what a traditional system would offer.
Yeah, and it seems so connected to real life. You know, it's not that often the schooling system is, you learn all those, you know, different things that are not very, that you don't use very often as an adult or in your daily life, but then to be able to understand what your father is doing or what some of the community members are doing, that also speaks to them in an eye level kind of approach. And I love that.
Yes.
I want to ask you something. What makes you feel alive?
I feel alive when I'm in this flow. Like, so when I get into this like flow state where everything feels like it's just happening almost naturally, you know, and like beyond my efforts and strategic thinking, and like when things happen in a flow with very kind of natural feeling, I feel the most alive, because to me, then when I get into those states, then I truly feel like I'm living my purpose and being used for whatever I'm meant to be used for. And that exhilarates me, because, you know, then I feel like I'm really just doing what I'm meant to be doing, you know, and that feeling to me is life-giving.
That's beautiful. I have this other question for you. Well, I'm curious to know if there was a time in your life that you did something that was completely irrational or spontaneous, and it turned out for the best?
Yeah, like I think it would go back to the day I pulled my son out of school. Because like you touched upon earlier, there's so much fear associated to that, you know, like as a society, like we've grown up thinking that, or conditioned really to believe that there's only one way to educate, you know, and how important school is and how important, like, you know, an education is, and, you know, that how, you know, you're really messing up your children if you do something different. And there's so much fear associated to that. And I didn't know anybody who was living, you know, differently or educating their kids differently. And I really just took this leap of faith, you know, out of nowhere. And, you know, so many people thought I was crazy and I was going to, you know, mess up my kids, and it was the worst decision of my life. And, you know, I didn't have any data or stats or anything to like really base myself on. It was just this strong intuition and kind of gut feeling inside me that I just knew this was not the path for my kids. Mm-hmm. And it was terrifying, honestly, to be honest, like to be completely transparent. It was terrifying. There's so many, like, you don't realize how conditioned you are in one way of thinking until you challenge that way of thinking and kind of throw yourself in the opposite end of the spectrum. And it was such an internal battle for me. You know, I don't think I cared so much about what other people think, but it was more battling my own thoughts and my own conditioning and really going into this knowing that, you know, yeah, I don't know how this is going to turn out or whether I'm making the right decision or not, but just following that intuition. And I now, looking back, I think it's been over 5-6 years now. You know, he's 11. I probably pulled him out. Yeah, 6 years. I pulled him out when he was 6. And seeing everything that we've done and everything that we've accomplished since then, and the trajectory that one decision has made on not only our lives, but the lives of over, you know, 250 families now that are also living differently, is just crazy how one little decision can completely redirect your entire life and the life of so many other people, you know? So that was definitely a terrifying decision that I often, you know, thought I was crazy, you know, when initially when you make it, but then later on, you know, a month in or 2 months in, when, you know, all your friends are still sending their kids to school and they have this routine and, you know, the kids leave every morning and your kids are still sitting at home with you. It's like, oh my God, like, what have I done? You know, like, did I make the worst decision of my life? But in hindsight, oh my God, like I couldn't imagine living, you know, the life that I thought we would live back in the day. Like, I just come back and we're still in the same home, but it's just a completely different lifestyle, a different mindset, different people. I think we've all evolved, and there's almost no going back.
There is no going back.
There's no going back.
That's so beautiful. And yeah, of course it's terrifying. Change is always scary, but sometimes I think it's scarier to keep doing something that you know deep down it's not really working. And, you know, that's more scary, to think that this is what life is all about. And that's it. It's just, I kept having that feeling for myself before I left the office and started my nomadic journey. I kept thinking, is that all there is? Is that all there is? This is what life is all about. Am I supposed to be happy with this? Living the same day over and over again. What is that? So to break out of it, to break that script, it takes a lot of courage and definitely a lot of creativity. And I want to ask you, If someone is about to start a community-based project, what would be your advice to them?
I would share, like, you know, what my biggest learning was in the first year after launching, is to be very clear and confident on what you are and what you, and just as confident on what you're not, right? So I know, like, in our early days, you know, when you're trying to, you know, you have your early adopters, right? People who are trusting in this pitch deck and nothing exists yet. And, you know, they're just kind of believing in this vision or joining you for this vision. You tend to I think we were always very clear on what we are and what Boundless Life stands for and what Boundless Education stands for. But in our early days, when our early adopters joined us, I learned that I had to be just as clear on what we are not. And what I find happens is often you want to be welcoming to everybody and you want to grow and evolve alongside everybody who's with you, but you don't want that to come at the expense of your own values and what you stand for and what the mission of this organization is. So I learned very quickly that you have to be just as transparent and vocal about what you're not and what you don't stand for, so that the early adopters who are joining you on this journey don't try to convert you or transform you into what they want the community to look like, you know? So I would advise people to be very clear on, you know, what the community stands for, what your values are, and just as clear on what you don't stand for, you know? It's kind of sometimes harder to take a stance on what you're not, because, you know, you don't want to put that out there sometimes, but I think it's very important because that's what in the long run ensures that you are attracting people that have the same values and are like-minded.
Mm-hmm. So what's your not? What Boundless Life is not about?
Yeah, so I guess I'm speaking more specifically to education, right? So, you know, when we first started, we were very clear on what Boundless Education was. And what we learned is that a lot of families that were coming to us were looking for something that they wanted to create themselves. So for instance, we had a lot of families who really wanted an unschooling movement or an unschooling community for their kids, where their kids, you know, don't follow any structure, right? Or don't follow any curriculum and are, you know, just completely open and free to do whatever they want with their day, which is great, you know, which a lot of people, I understand, you know, how that is important to some parents and definitely, you know, a way to go. But it wasn't our way to go, you know, like with Boundless Education, we're not an unschooling movement. We follow a curriculum. We want to challenge children. We want them to work on different projects, you know. So we had some families that kind of joined us who wanted it to be more of like a kid center, you know, where they wanted, you know, Xboxes everywhere and free schedule where the kids could do whatever they wanted. And it felt more like they wanted just a babysitting service, you know? So we had to be very clear, after the first year of operations that we are not a kids club. We are not just a babysitting service. We are not an unschooling movement. You know, we are, we follow the Finnish curriculum and we follow the Nordic baccalaureate, and, you know, we want to challenge our kids. We want them to achieve mastery in different subjects. We want them to work on specific real world problems. So we, you know, when I spoke about project-based learning, we have every cohort, the kids work on a quest. So the quest is a specific UN sustainable development goal. So every cohort, all of our locations are working on one SDG, and there's a lot of like cross destination collaboration where the kids are applying what they learn in English, math, and science to a real world problem. And you know, that's structure, right? Like there's a lot of openness within that, but ultimately that's what the kids are working on. So, you know, we we want to kind of have this container that the kids have freedom within the container, but there's still a structured curriculum that they work around. So yeah, some of our early families weren't looking for that. You know, they were looking for more of a freedom kids club. So I think we just have to be really clear after our first year on what we are not. And it was honestly one of the best things we did, because when we came out so openly and strongly with what Boundless Education is not, that's when we really hit company and customer alignment, where we really had this perfect customer business fit. Because now, as soon as we said what we weren't, we started to attract the perfect clients who were looking exactly for what we were offering. And I think that's when there was a major shift in our business and the customers that are attracted to us.
That's fascinating. So now that we know what you're not, at the moment, how many destinations are active?
So we have four fully operational destinations. We have Sintra, Portugal, Sidos, Greece, which is an island near Mykonos in Greece. We have Tuscany, so a small town called Pistoia in Italy, about 20 minutes from Florence. And just 2 weeks ago, we launched Bali. So we're in a small town called Sanur. So we're now four operations, fully functional.
So yeah. Great. And what would be your 10-year vision for Boundless?
Yes.
I know it's hard. So, but
yeah, well, honestly, I've always had this in my mind since we, you know, even started thinking about this company. For me, again, I always have this big education focus, but I would envision, you know, 10 years from now, having 100 Boundless education centers all over the world. So right now we're really focusing on these beautiful, kind of hidden gem destinations. Mm-hmm. But the goal for Boundless education is to have an education center, in all parts of the world. So in big cities, small cities, beautiful destinations that allow families to plug in and out of our different education centers without disrupting their kids' education. So for instance, if you know your parents live in Israel and you want your children to spend 3 months in Tel Aviv and then spend 3 months in New York City because maybe Rekha? That's where your sister lives, and then spend 3 months on a Greek island, your family has the freedom to do that because they could plug in and out of any one of our Boundless education centers without disrupting your children's education. So for me, that would be the ultimate vision here, is to have hundreds of locations around the world and allow parents to be untethered, you know, and to be able to live anywhere they want in the world with the same education system at the forefront of their children's lives.
That's perfect. I'm in. We're coming to an end, and I want to thank you again for coming on the show. Where would be the best place to follow Boundless and your work?
So you could check out our website. Our website is www.boundless.life. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of information on the website. You can follow us on Instagram, boundless.life, on LinkedIn, on Facebook. We're on all the major social platforms. I would say that's the best way to follow us.
Beautiful. And I'll make sure to put all the links in the show notes so it will be easier for everyone to find it. And before we go, there is one last question that I ask all my guests, and it's called the wild napkin. Are you ready?
Sure.
All right. So you're going to a bar and you have a couple of drinks and your mind is really free. And all of a sudden you have the craziest idea, but all you have is a napkin. So you write it down. The next day you find it. What does it say?
My wild napkin.
Your wild yeah, napkin. There is no budget and no time limitation. Ooh. It's just, you know.
I think my wild napkin would be definitely education related, because as you know, we grow boundless. I'm always thinking of, okay, where are kids going to go? You know, like what is their middle school and high school going to look like? What is the vision for, you know, boundless education as our entire community grows? So I imagine this napkin being like a floor plan of our futuristic education centers. Mm. So, you know, I have so many different ideas of what, if that budget wasn't an issue, what our education systems would look like. So there would be this like kind of little network of kind of like a mini Google headquarters, but for kids, you know, with maker spaces where kids could go and develop all of their own creations, state-of-the-art art resources, you know, where they could have interactive learning zones and really have this kind of compound of an education center all around the world where kids are just left free to develop and create and innovate, kind of like a mesh between like a Disney World and a Google headquarters, you know, where it's this space of free creativity where on a daily basis, they're just inspired to create and innovate, and all the, you know, up-to-date technologies are available, whether it's 3D printers and, you know, AI devices, VR devices, where they can really learn and create, but at the same time, this design space that's nature-inspired with so many natural elements and, you know, but at the cusp of cutting edge and technology, and really having this immersive learning environment where kids are just inspired to create and develop alongside, you know, inspirational people in the community. Like, I imagine having this, you know, like weekly TED Talk area where people from around the world are coming to our community centers and inspiring our kids with their latest thoughts on the world, and really making it this communal education center where global leaders are brought in and able to inspire young minds to, you know, think and create differently, where we're really transcending boundaries and, you know, sparking the joy of learning in children without having any limits.
Wow. I can see it, by the way, in my mind as you're talking. I think you can see it too, probably.
It would be incredible. I think it would be, and like just to imagine the kids, mm. you know, and the future leaders that would evolve from spaces like this. I think.
Oh my God. I'm so curious to meet the kids in the community and to see the kind of adults they'll grow up to be. Rekha, this has been amazing. Thank you so much for coming here and sharing so openly about your journey, about what you're creating in the world. And thank you for creating that.
Thank you. Thank you for holding such a special space to share and for everything that you contribute to the world. I mean, our connection was incredible, and I look forward to you know, continuing our journey together.
Me too. And thanks everyone who joined us today. And until the next time, go out and talk to strangers. Bye-bye.